People think that the green purchasing requirements apply to all contracts for products and services. Simply incorrect. Another myth. The new FAR rule requires all suppliers to inventory and reduce their greenhouse gases, now commonly referred as GHG. Incorrect. Finally, because of sustainable mandates in the FAR rule, GSA is kicking non-green, non-compliant products off our schedules. Not correct. So let's talk a little bit about those FAR rules and the executive orders. Let's talk a little bit about those in the context of transparency. Those rules basically require us as procurement officials to identify the procurements in a green purchasing requirement, and I'll give some examples of that later on. It also talks about tracking the purchases, and we do that typically when we talk about transparency with our federal portals as far as how we advertise procurements. So it means capture the data up front and also disclose it on the backside. So transparency again. What it does not do is address GHG supply chain. So that's not the purpose of what those executive orders were about. And I think it's important to keep that in front of you. It does, however, though, within the executive orders and the FAR rule, ask that we, as stewards of the tax dollars, contracting officials, move towards greening our procurements. And there is a goal in there that talks about 95%. First, in the area of the executive order. For example, you as a consumer, when you go to purchase computers, appliances, you commonly see labels such as Energy Star or EPEAT. Those are typical commercial verified eco-labeling. That's simply what we're saying to do in the world of government procurements. Keep in mind where we have standards such as that, what we're saying is tie that into your procurement. 95% of your procurements, if you're buying appliances that are Energy Star, if there are products out there, they should be. We should be going in that direction. It's energy efficient. It's saving tax dollars. It's the smart thing to do.
Let me jump in real quick, because one of the things that stands out, and I think this is where the confusion comes from, is two pieces. The FAR rule, when it came out, was supposed to come out as a proposed rule and then come out as a final rule once there's comments. It came out as an interim rule. So I think there was the understanding from the industry was not as great as maybe it should have been. I know it's out of your control of how it comes out, meaning proposed versus interim versus how. But in your opinion, is that where the confusion is, because people didn't get a chance to really understand it and read it and comment on it?
I don't think that it's because the FAR rule came out as an interim. So a little bit about that as we deep dive into rulemaking. You know, the interim is just what it is. It is effective immediately. That doesn't mean there's not the opportunity for comment. And part of what we're doing today is providing that dialogue and open feedback. So as a result of that and that communication that comes in, expect the final rule to make some adjustments. That's just part of naturally what happens when we write rules and regulations. So to the point of what the FAR rule, the behavior of what is happening, I think that's what we're really getting at here. There's interpretation of the interim rule, and it is driving certain behavior. What I can say from a schedules perspective is we're not kicking suppliers off the schedule. That's a home run statement. That's just not happening. GSA is not kicking suppliers off the schedule.
But why do you think people believe that you guys would be kicking people off the schedule when you're not kicking people off the schedule?
Well, I can't really answer the question why one would believe that. I can say that oftentimes when you are asking contracting officers and federal agencies to operate in a real rapid evolving discussion, when we talk about greening the federal supply chain, it takes on different interpretations. The biggest point here is what we're trying to do is create an environment that, in fact, does mirror the commercial industry, because, in fact, that's what GSA is really about. They are commercial products and services, and make sure that those are meeting the needs of our customers. And taking it in a step-by-step process, recognizing there are some markets that are more mature than others. Again, using the example of computers and Energy Star, a very mature market that any of us can relate to as consumers. However, when you get into what is a greening service, not so mature, and we need to take our time, slow down, have that dialogue, have that interface with industry, learn, talk to academia, and then see what the next step is. And I think that's where you'll see adjustments from the interim rule to the final rule.
So then let's get down to really what's going on here. If you're not kicking people off the schedule, and if you're not just saying everything's got to be green, you're going to highlight specific products and services that already or potentially could meet certain standards that are well-known, well-used, such as Energy Star, such as EPEAT. Is that, in a nutshell, correct?
That is correct.
So give me a sense of how you're going about doing that. Is it just putting a little green checkmark by something? When an agency customer, pick one, agriculture department, comes to a GSA schedule, what will they see?
It really is a two-part test to determine whether we incorporate green mandates within a schedule contract. First, we'll determine if there is an existing EPA, Energy, USDA, or some independent third-party standard appropriate for incorporating. That means, of course, looking at that market sector again. Is it mature or is it maturing? Second, we'll determine if there are sufficient sources of supplies from countries that comply with the Trade Agreements Act as well. If both the criteria is met, then we will move forward with future products or services to be added to that contract or schedule. It's important to note that the use of those environmentally sustainable standards and labels are all in an evolving process as we move forward. So, in fact, what you may have is a supplier, and then again, I ask you to think in the commercial environment, if, in fact, you have Energy Star refrigerators that you already offer, what GSA is saying to you is move those items that are not Energy Star away from the GSA schedule. And if you think of it commercially, they already get it anyway. It is a supply and demand market. If they're going to remain competitive as a commercial supplier, that behavior is already happening.
Just take it for a second. If I'm Whirlpool and I'm selling dishwashers and I have 10 different models of dishwashers and 8 are Energy Star and 2 aren't, and I'm offering all 10 on my schedule, what GSA is saying to, again, we're just picking on Whirlpool for no real reason, you would say to them, take those 2 that are not Energy Star and do not offer them on the schedule anymore?
Yes, we would move away from those 2. That is correct. I would say in that example that you just gave, there is ample supplies, ample sources there, that we would look to that supplier to move those 2 items off the schedule.